It's a download here on 720 WGN. I'm Justin Kaufman. My guest in studio, Mike Fouché from the DailyLine.net.
So good to be here. And man, that music. Wow.
You like that? It's very spy-like.
I'm going to tell you about some espionage.
All right, let's talk about two big stories that are happening outside of baseball today. Obviously, last night at the end, the final minute.
Yeah.
Karen Lewis and Chicago Teachers Union hold an impromptu press conference to say that they have accepted an agreement for a new contract with the Chicago Board of Education.
Wasn't that amazing? And then I get my auto call phone call at 6 this morning. CPS parents, your children will be going to school today. That was awesome.
Well, I will say this, Mike. One of my pet peeves is, why not set the deadline for 7 o'clock so we all are over, so we all can get our kids prepared? When my son woke up and I'm like, there's school today.
Sorry.
You know,
sad trombone for kids.
they really didn't factor into
happy
this at
days
all.
For happy parents.
Days. Yeah.
La, la, la.
Yeah, exactly. All right. So what? Tell me about this deal. I mean, it was kind of short on details, but talk about what made it possible for this deal to get done.
You know, so really, what it's all about. But what one thing that the Chicago Teachers Union has really done very well is that they've been hammering away at the idea that there's this big giant pot of gold called TIFs that the mayor has, and that he should be devoting some amount of the pot of gold to teachers.
Broke on purpose,
right? On purpose, and then they started, you know, getting all kinds of things like, hey, you know, there's this big arena for DePaul University the mayor's paying for with TIFs, all this other great stuff, all these corporate bennies for TIFs. But nothing for kids. No, TIFs aren't for kids. You know, it was kind of rough, and they did a great job of making that case. And I think that Mayor Emanuel kind of looking down the road and seeing what that was going to be wasn't so good for him, because the truth is, the TIFs, whether or not you like them, are an excellent tool for the mayor to use in order to encourage development in various parts of the city. It's his last really good. I can do anything I want with it. Yeah, you know, some people call it a slush fund. There's a little bit of truth to that.
Yeah.
And, you know, the teachers, I think, were going to hammer away at that for him for, you know, weeks. And that would have been very bad for his purposes. And what they were looking for was some amount of money to cover their pension costs. And so the mayor agreed to dip into TIFs and create a surplus of, you know, an extra. It's hard to say how much extra it was, because this morning the budget was rolled out and they said it was $175 million. There was going to be some surplus that was going to be devoted. Last year they did $116 million. So, you know, probably $60 million or so extra than they would have done otherwise.
Let me ask you just a...
So a whole bunch of money goes to CPS from the TIFs in order to be able to pay for teacher
pensions. I'll
ask
that sort of a sports-like question, but who's the winners? I mean, does CTU claim victory in this negotiation? Does the mayor walk away with the upper hand? Who's the winner? I mean,
we're all winners, Justin Kaufman. We're all winners. And that, I mean, as sarcastic and as funny as it is, I mean, the way that it's coming across is that everyone's declaring victory. There is no victory dance on one side saying, haha, beat you, like there was the last strike. Mm-hmm. I mean, the teachers clearly beat Rahm Emanuel in the last strike. And so, you know, I guess that's good for everyone. But the truth is, there wasn't a lot of wiggle room for the teachers. And what the teachers did give up is that all new hires no longer get the pension pickup. So their 7% of their pension payments are picked up by CPS for teachers. Mm-hmm. All new teachers that are hired will no longer get that pension
pickup. So do they have to pay in for their own pension?
Yes, for all of their pension. You know, the pension pickup, that's unusual. Not every place has a pension pickup.
Well, I did enough reading on it because it was just kind of shoved in our face in the last couple of days.
Yeah.
And I came away with the idea that this was essentially the pension pickup was a negotiation years ago.
That's right.
To avoid giving teachers a raise. Instead, they said, we'll pick up your pension.
Right.
They've done with many sorts of places, they've misused that money. Now they've gone back saying, we're taking that away, but we're not necessarily giving you the raise. So you can see why the teachers were angry about that.
And the other is the other big item economically is that the schools agreed to have a COLA increase of 2% and 2.5% in years 3 and year 4 of the 4-year contract. There's no COLA increase for the next...
What is COLA?
Cost of living allowance.
Okay, got it.
So you get an automatic increase Everybody gets an automatic increase in their pay. So for the next 2 years, there's no COLA increase. In years three and four, there are. And then they're also going to put back in what are called step raises, which are things that you get as you go up
the ladder. The obvious question in the room is, we've been talking about this for a year, Mike. I mean, is the budget woes of the Chicago Public Schools over? I mean,
no, not at all. Because I mean, there's a couple things, which is that this TIF transfer this year paid for this year. And there's no plan for what are you going to do next year. And also, CPS still has a fairly large deficit that it hasn't really solved for. And then there is about $200 million that they're counting on that'll come from the state legislature that depends on some undefined pension reform.
Mike Fouché from thedailyline.net joins me. We'll take a quick break, get an update on tonight's news. Come back. We got to talk about today's city budget proposal from Mayor Emanuel.
That's the best game in town today.
That is the best.
The budget, that's the best game in town, everybody.
Game, right?
The only game in town. There are no other games.
It's a download here on 720 WGN.
I'm just going to put on my peasant blouse and weave flowers in my hair.
That's your soundtrack,
so nice.
Man. Soundtrack of Mike Fouché, thedailyline.net. Oh, we're talking all things Chicago, Illinois politics tonight. Obviously, today, the story is Mayor Emanuel's budget proposal to City Council. So let's talk about this. A big budget, but as the mayor said, sort of one first of its kind.
Did he hit a home run? I don't know. I mean, it was quite a catch. No, like here, you know, the thing is, it was probably, it's a huge budget. It's $9.3 billion, and there's just $1 billion that's being spent on pension payments alone. But in terms of new programs and exciting things, it's actually a pretty modest budget. There's no big, hot, flashy, cool, awesome.
Well isn't the flashy, hot thing is more police officers?
Yes. So there's more police officers. There's a spending program that's being created, the Community Catalyst Fund, which is going to be about $33 million a year. That's going to be managed by a team led by the treasurer, Kurt Summers. And there's some other new programs for social services focusing on kids. But there's no giant program to build a new L line. Well, you know, they're working on the red line. That's coming from other places. There's no new giant infrastructure programs, although, you know, there's a modest program where the city's going to try and replace all of its street lights to LED lights.
No DePaul Stadium.
Nothing like that. There's nothing like that. And, you know, I think that one of the things that the mayor was trying to say is that this is a budget that is unlike any other, and that we no longer have this sword of Damocles hanging over our heads, which is the budget, the cost of the pensions, the unresolved cost of the pensions, the unresolved debt issues that have been roiling around for a long time. And, you know, the fact that this teacher strike issue was resolved the day before he puts out the budget, it was kind of a big deal.
He looks good. It wouldn't have been great optics if the strike happened today and he had to give this budget, but he got it wrapped up. He got this speech without that sort of interfering. Let's talk about revenue, the taxes. We already know about the water tax that kind of went through.
Right.
The new one that kind of been floated up has been this disposable plastic and paper bag tax at 7 cents. You go into the Jewel or to
the
Target or the Walgreens.
As everybody knows, is that last year they had a paper bag ban. A plastic bag ban. And that a certain thickness are no longer allowed except in Ma and Pa stores. And so now all of our bags are a lot thicker, with the idea that we could reuse them. Stores hate it. Consumers hate it. Everybody hates it. It's not effective. It's not really cutting back on the amount of plastic we consume. And so what the answer is, well, now we're going to have a tax. Mm-hmm. And we're going to have a 7 cent per bag tax for every bag that you get in a store. It can be any kind of bag you want. but if it's plastic, you're paying seven cents more. And so they've done that in a number of other cities in Washington and San Francisco and Houston too, I think. And it seems to be effective in reducing the amount of bags that people use.
Okay, well, that's great.
Yeah.
But isn't the idea of having revenue that
right.
would, if you replace, if you, re- so if that's you reduce supposed to, it, you're not going to have the same money
right.
coming in.
They right? project that it's going to make between $13 and $18 million more a year, which, you know, isn't a lot, but it's something.
The others is a myriad of parking stuff. We saw loading zones.
Parking zones, new loading zones, and some other things like that. But, you know, actually the city is claiming much bigger numbers with things like managing their finances better, clearing out. The treasurer said that there were dozens and dozens of these bank accounts that had just money that was sitting around, and they've been able to scrape up, you know, something like $40 million from stuff that was just not being used and not being invested
couch,
well.
The city's
yeah,
couch, right?
Yeah, right. Yeah. And so, you know, hey, listen, you know, when you're going through, you know, billions of dollars a year, you know, when you find a million here and a million there, that's not so uncommon.
I will say this, Mike, and I'll get on my soapbox for just a second if I can grab it from
yeah,
the other
don't,
side
Yeah, don't
of
get
the
too high there. Wait.
The one area that I did not like, and I saw this, and just, you know, I don't expect you to have an opinion on this, but the parking meter surge pricing.
In Wrigleyville.
Essentially in yeah. Wrigleyville, around Wrigley Field, they're going to start it there as almost a pilot program where during day games and other events, they say events, and
yeah.
they're going to charge more at those meters. They're going to be able to program to say,
right.
that, you know, if there wasn't a game, it's $1 an hour. If
right.
there's a game, it's $8 an hour.
Right.
And then they say in the newspaper, out in the Tribune article, they actually say that this is a pilot program to roll out across the city.
Yeah.
I could have sworn that, and they do reference this, that we give all that money to the parking meter company
yeah.
that does the privatizing.
Yeah.
And the city said, yes, that is true, but it helps yeah. us on the back end with you know, our annual blah, 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 blah. My point being that that's just, you know, you get to a certain point where you start doing surge pricing when it comes to parking. And I feel like that's just going to become something in 5 years where we're going, man, I can't believe
I'm
going to
be devil's advocate
hot,
here.
It's hot outside,
be,
so I guess we'll do $16 an hour by the lake.
I'm going to be devil's advocate.
Come on, man.
Because, I mean, once upon a time when I was a young man and, you know, I was cool, I lived in Lakeview. I didn't live in Wrigleyville, but I lived in Lakeview. And, you know, having a car was actually kind of dumb. I mean, if you live in that part of the city and you have a car, unless you are well off enough to have a garage, you know, I don't think you should be counting
on
a parking space.
That's not how people
you should be counting on a parking
space.
That's
not how people park
in
Chicago.
Get on the bus.
People park by stopping in front of the store or getting out in the lakefront or driving to a destination that might be a kind of a pain in the butt to do public transportation and using the meters there. The problem I have with a surge price is, like I just said, what happens when it's a nice day in June? Does someone at City Hall get to flip a switch and they get to surge price all the spots on the lake? So if you want to go run on the lakefront, it's going to be an extra $3 an hour. That's all I'm saying.
That would
I feel
be,
like,
where do you think they'd keep that switch? That would be really cool.
I have an idea, and I
right.
think it's on the fourth floor, but
hey,
I'm not sure.
My brother is the guy that flips the switch.
Mayor Emanuel's mad at us, and he's like, well, I'll show you guys yeah. how to flip the switch. All right. The only other issue I want to talk about today as we'll wrap up here is, you know, it's interesting because there's been a lot of uproar about the ad that the Democrats put out against Bruce Rauner, sort of tying him to Donald Trump.
Right.
When we hear constantly over and over
right.
and over
that
Rauner doesn't have anything to do with Donald Trump. We all know that he doesn't like him. He didn't go to the convention.
Yeah.
He's not endorsing him.
Yeah.
He every turn he gets on mic, at least in the last 2 weeks, where he says.
But he's never actually used his name. In
yeah.
fact, he was asked about him yesterday or a couple days ago.
He doesn't say.
And he said, terrible, awful, horrible.
He but he doesn't say
But
his
he
name.
Never said
but
his name.
Let me ask you about the state races because, you know, there's still money at stake when it comes to the money that has to come to the city from Springfield and all the different places. And we're going to get back into that coming up after the election. You know, what are the races like right now when it comes to the House and Senate
yeah.
or state of Illinois?
I mean, well, it's pretty clear that the Democrats are going to retain a significant majority in the Senate. The question is, will they be able to retain a almost veto proof or an actual they were one short of a veto.
Right,
yeah.
Right,
one
right.
short of a veto proof majority in the House. And they've been fighting and fighting in order to get that veto proof majority. And there's about five or six Democrat seats that are really in danger and could lose. Now, everything that I'd been hearing about is a couple weeks old. It was before all the true demolition derby stuff happened with Donald Trump. And I think the danger for Republicans across Illinois is that Republican voters are just so frustrated and upset, they stay home. They don't vote.
Right.
And so, you know, nobody goes down the ticket in order to vote for these down ballot races for state legislature. And there's a lot of fired up Hillary Clinton supporters that go out and vote. That could carry the day. And, you know, that's the case across the nation. You know, I know of congressional seats in places that, you know, maybe are in play now that weren't in play a week ago. So I think there is a wholesale meltdown that's going down.
Well, we'll have to, you know, we'll talk next week, but we should pay attention as we hit October, because all eyes are on the presidential campaign and even the U.S. Senate here in the state of Illinois. But that state rep, state senate,
state rep stuff
have a lot of ramifications
for
this year.
It's everything. It's everything.
Mike Fouché from the Daily Line, thedailyline.net. Mike, good to see you.
Great to be here.